What are the answers to some of life's most important questions? Actually, you can't avoid answering these questions because you already do. It happens simply by how you have chosen to structure your priorities, spend your money, and use your time. Tune in as we interview pastors and leaders throughout the valley discussing the must-answer questions on The Form Show.
Welcome to The Form Show. Mark Lucas here, Faith Talk 1360. What a beautiful joy it is week in and week out to have these conversations with you. Right now, as you're driving in drive time traffic, that 5 o'clock hour, again, every week we get to have conversations, that truly are catalytic, conversations that truly matter most. So whether you're listening in radio right now or podcast, it is a joy and an honor to have these conversations with you multiple times throughout the week. Again, right here on Faith Talk 1360. One of the things that I find in my life is when I go through a difficult season in life, I'm in the storm. So right now, as you're driving, right now, wherever you are, envision you're in this storm. And in the midst of being in the storm, I kind of miss the joy. I kind of miss finding happiness in that moment. And yet, as I really kind of dig in and pray through it and lean into my faith, I realize that regardless, nobody wants to walk into a storm, but regardless of the storms that we go through, and I said we clearly, regardless of those storms, there is this beautiful longing that God has to make us a people marked by His joy. And we're going to talk about today, hear a beautiful story from somebody that we care so much about. I'll even use the word, we love Solar Sandy. I've got Sandy here, and we're going to walk through her story. She's going to share that, and then we're going to pivot and transition into a conversation how we can find joy regardless of the season of life you're in right now. I know I do a marriage show as well. I know that we have messes. I know that we all make mistakes. We all walk through seasons of life where there's these massive storms. And yet, as I've grown and matured in my faith, and really in the short time I've spent with Sandy and really know a lot about her, she is just a beautiful reflection of finding joy, finding happiness, regardless of what she's walking through, and even taking some of those opportunities to really bring her into the business that she's in now. So, Sandy, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, Mark. It's just such an honor to be here. Thank you so much. I really, really am I'm very, very grateful to be here with you today. Thank you.
Well, of course. Real quick, because I know you're on multiple times on 960 The Patriot, you're on Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday, 9 and 4 and 10 and 5, I think.
Okay.
So just go to the website. I think it's on there, 960.
And give them the website. Is it solarsandy.com?
Oh, it's asksolarsandy.com.
That's right. Asksolarsandy.com. Okay. So let's jump in because your story, all of our stories, one of the things that I say a lot here on radio is that we all have been given by God a story.
Yeah.
And every story is uniquely perfect the way that God's really woven the story into place.
Absolutely.
All of our stories are beautiful. Your story is beautiful. So let's start with a little bit of your story for listeners.
You know, I know what's interesting, Mark, to your point, what I thought my life story was going to be was very different than how it turned out to be. But it was exactly perfect because God took my circumstances, and I'll go into that in just a second, and made me who I am today, and I'm very grateful for that. So be grateful for whatever God gives you. It may not look exactly what you want it to look like, but God's there with you through all of it.
Yeah.
So 1993, I was a single mom. My daughter was 3. My stepson was 5. And I dropped them off at Summer Fun that morning and offered to take, she was just actually an acquaintance to the airport because the shuttle was going to take them, you know, very early and their flight wasn't until I think 3 in the afternoon. So I offered to take them. And so I took them to the airport and then I took them out for lunch. And this was back in 1993 when you could walk them to the gate.
Yeah, right.
So I was going to see them off and then go pick up the kids from Summer Fun. So everybody was about a step and a half, like maybe two and a half feet apart from each other. And I was leading the way to go hold the elevator door open. because the door was open, completely open. So I was going to walk in and hold the door for everybody to get into the elevator. I walked into the elevator, Mark, and the elevator was not there. And this was on the fourth floor of the parking garage at the Honolulu Airport. And of course, I fell and I was unconscious. So I don't remember anything other than walking towards the elevator and just briefly walking in because I fell. And the elevator, they estimate, was between the first and the second floor. So I was very, very seriously injured. I broke my neck in three places. I broke my back in two places. And when I became conscious, you know, at the hospital, because luckily somebody was there, you know, my friend, my acquaintance and her daughters and that. So I was attended to very quickly, which I'm sure had a lot to do with the outcome. But the doctors had very horrific news for me. They said, if you live, you're never going to walk again. Well, the first thing I thought of was dying is not an option. I'm a single mother. My children need me. And, you know, that's just we're taking that one off the table. And there was three doctors that told me that. And I said, and I will walk again. And I said, God and I are going to figure this out with or without you. Either get on the team or hit the door. And so I guess I was a little feisty, but, you know, it's a very, very long story. I mean, it was not easy what I went through. I mean, when I was released from the hospital, I was in a wheelchair, and I remember my son pushing me and my three-year-old daughter sitting on my lap. And that was the first Christmas after my accident. My accident happened in July. And I had some surgeries in between that. But I remember Christmas shopping with my daughter, my three-year-old on my lap, and my son pushing me. And he was big enough and strong enough to get the wheelchair out of the trunk, but he couldn't get it back in. So he would stop somebody and say, could you please help me with my mom's wheelchair? So those are things that, you know, that I reflect back on. And it wasn't easy for them, but, you know, I always shared with them, with God, all things are possible. And was I scared? Was I, you know, I was in horrific pain. So I guess I really didn't have time to be scared. But what I knew, I needed to be an example for my children. And because I was their mom. And, you know, today they're 31 and 33. And they have shared with me, Mark, you know, my daughter wrote me something really beautiful this Mother's Day. She made broken look beautiful. And, you know, she went on to say, you know, that she taught me everything that I know today. So these things that, you know, maybe you're going through something. I tell everybody, we all have an elevator shaft story. It's just looks differently than mine. You didn't maybe fall down an elevator shaft, but it's all how we face it and persevere it. And were there days of despair and you know, struggle? Absolutely. But the one thing I can tell you, Mark, with no question of sure as I'm sitting here, that God was there for me every step of the way. And even if for a glimmer of a fraction of a second, I didn't think I could do it for one more fraction of a second, the faith that I had, you know, in his presence and the comfort that I knew, you know, and my children, God gave me the strength. My kids gave me the will. So it was a combination that you just couldn't go up against. And so, you know, it was a lot of times very difficult, but, you know, one day at a time, you know, with God, all things are possible. If you believe with God, if you believe it, you can achieve it. With God, all things are possible. And so, and I was 33 at the time. So fast forward, then, you know, I had gone through a lot of my surgeries and that, and then the doctor had a brilliant idea because I was on a lot of IV medications in and out of the hospital from the surgeries that I was enduring, and again, I was in horrific pain. I mean, at some points, I can tell you honestly, breathing hurt. I think there was one time that I think I almost broke a nurse's hand from like squeezing her hand so hard. You know, and it wasn't just like, you know, like an ache. It was like searing, stabbing, jabbing pain. It was just horrific. So they came out with this new device called it was a Medtronic pump, and it's implantable. Now they have implantable TENS units in these pumps, and then, you know, for insulin and all the rest of it. Medtronic, they're actually here. I shouldn't even have said the name of the company, but it's I had one, and I mean it was fine, but you had to go in and have it filled every month, and the doctor made an error and didn't clear the air out of the needle when he was filling the pump. So he accidentally injected air bubbles into the pump. Well, those air bubbles traveled to my brain. So over the course of the next 3 days, I had what's called an air embolism. And I actually had a dying experience, you know, near-death experience. But, gosh, you know, I was somewhere like with the Lord, and I actually asked to come back. I said, I have to go back because I had survived the accident when the kids were 3 and 5. And at this point, the kids were 15 and 17. So I actually said, I can't leave them now like I couldn't leave them then. And there was a long pause, Mark, and I almost think that the Lord was weighing, does she really know what she's in for when she goes back? Because it got worse. Having an air embolism is like having a massive stroke. So I thought the first part of what I endured was bad. The second part was much worse. Then I lost my home. I lost everything. And I had to send my children, my daughter to the Big Island. My son, I sent him to Maui. I couldn't take care of myself, let alone take care of two teenagers. And so my best friend took me in, and I flew to Las Vegas, and she took me in. And we started searching for a doctor that would remove the pump, you know, as if it happened once, maybe it could happen again. And I just wanted it out of me. And six doctors basically wouldn't treat me. And the seventh doctor, God's perfect number, was a Christian. He said, you know, Sandy, dying saved your life. And I said, well, you know, Doc, I'm blonde, brain damaged, and a bit of an airhead. You're going to have to explain this one to me. And he said, I don't know if you know this, but you're on the highest concentration allowed by law in the pump. So, Mark, if I had continued, you know, because they planned to have me on that for the rest of my life, you know, because I was had severe chronic pain. There was no, and I still have pain today. No pump, but I had the pump. He removed the pump for me. But the concentration of the morphine was very highly concentrated, and it was the highest level of concentration that was allowed by law. And so he said, if you'd continued on this dosage and this concentration of medication, you would have had liver and kidney failure at some point. He said, and things would have not turned out well for you. So, you know, even as horrific as all of that was, God had his hand on all of it, Mark. Mm. Like every detail. So again, you know, and I pray that no one goes through anything like this, but no matter how horrific your circumstances are, know that God knows every single detail of every single thing that you're going through, and give him the opportunity to guide you, comfort you, direct you in your life, and be joyful. And sometimes it's hard to be joyful, especially when you might be in physical pain, you might be in emotional pain, but you know, God wants us to be grateful and joyful in our lives, because it's because of him that we're here.
Oh, emotional to hear all that, and also to look across and to see your emotions as
Thank
well.
You.
Thank you for being as vulnerable and
Thank
open
you,
to share
Mark.
That
it's my
with
pleasure. I'm hoping that it will help somebody.
Listening audience. I know it will. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. Hearing that, I think there's so much for me in my spirit, my soul right now really resonates with me. But I think maybe at the top of the list, Sandy, is this understanding that in the midst of the storms, we are so clear that if we fix our eyes truly on Jesus, as much pain is, as much as we walk through, as much as maybe stripped from us or mm-hmm. taken from us, or were injured in the midst of all this, I think that it's so beautiful to know that we can be marked by joy even when we walk through the worst circumstances.
Absolutely, Mark.
And that's really there's so much inside the beauty of your story, but that's maybe at the top of the list. And I think whatever you are right now listening in, be encouraged and actually reach out to you. personally. Ask Sol or Sandy. Go to the website. Make contact, because at the end of the day, I think you're inspiring, because what you've done is you've kind of taken the mess, you've given it to God, and said, God, I trust you to make it into a masterpiece. I would have never written this in my life story, but I know that you're sovereign, which is a beautiful word that's so hard to understand, but meaning God is in control. So I know you're in control, even in the midst of the storm. So God, I give you all that I'm walking through, everything.
Absolutely.
And I release it to you, and I fix my eyes upon you, Jesus, and I put my faith in you. And I think from that as well, I want you to get into the story, because from that, another thing that really jumps out to me is the beauty of, and we had this when I was working in the church for a long time, but we had this value that we had at the church, and it was this: always find an opportunity in every single problem that you walk into.
Absolutely, Mark.
So share when your daughter
right.
is walking through what she's walking through, unable to pay her solar bill.
Her power bill.
Her power bill. Oh, that's right. Yeah. We wish it was a solar bill, because it wouldn't be a bill.
Right.
So she wasn't able to pay her power bill. Walk through that story, because again, God is always providing with wisdom and discernment opportunities, and you provide opportunities all the time for people all over the valley to be able to eradicate their bills, to go to solar, and to consult with you and to apply this formula. So
Well, I liked what you said at the beginning of the, you know, the preface of the show, when you said you talk about meaningful things, you know, to be wise with our money, we be wise with our time, etc. So what happened, I'm going to touch on that in just a minute, but I love that preface at the very, very beginning. So needless to say, I was physically and financially not in a good place for a very, very long time. And that three-year-old that sat on my lap in the wheelchair grew up and had a power bill, and she still lives in Hawaii today. And they don't have two power companies there. They only have one monopoly. And she called me and she says, Mom, I really am struggling paying my power bill. Can you help? And I said, sweetheart, I'm on Social Security disability. There's not much I can help you pay. I said, how bad could your bill be? You know? So she sent me the bill. It was bad. And I was like, oh boy. And when I called the power company to verify there was no mistake on the bill, they said the rates were going up again. And I said, this is actually, something's wrong with this, because I had never thought about electricity until I couldn't help my daughter pay her bill. And we all need it to survive.
And you thought maybe she was behind her payment.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That must have been the answer.
And the lady clearly told me that wasn't the case. So I started researching, and I was a registered nurse back in the day, and then I was, you know, a mom, you know, surviving my accident. So solar wasn't the answer I was looking for. I just Googled how to lower an electric bill. And of course, a multitude of things came up: insulation, windows, doors, Nest thermostats, things like that. And I didn't understand any of it. Some of them cost too much money. I was like, that's going right over my head. And then there was a little ad about solar. It said, no money out of pocket. And I said, oh, great, I can help the kids afford this. And I clicked on the ad. And the three simple things, and I tell everyone, you're going to, no money out of pocket, you produce your own electricity with your solar panels and pay less than the power company, and you won't have a rate increase ever again. So those were the three things that struck me, and I thought, well, this would be something that the kids need to look into. And so, very long story short, the first experiences that my son-in-law and my daughter had with solar people wasn't great. And somehow their math, I was really good at math because I was a nurse and we double checked on dosages, because you do that before you give medication to a patient. So their 1 + 1 wasn't adding up to 2. And here I was suggesting this to the kids. I didn't do this then. I was not Solar Sandy. I was just Mom and Jima at the time. And so I was just telling them, let's look into it. And I was just double checking to make sure that it was going to be a good thing and it wasn't going to be a bad thing, because I couldn't help them pay for it either way. Mm. You know, a power bill or a solar panel payment if this didn't turn out so good. So I sat down and I figured out a formula. And when you're motivated by your children and their best interests, you know, and I really was, and financially I was motivated that they were doing the right thing for them. And I figured out this formula. And it really, really has turned out well. And then I helped over the next 2.5 years while I was rehabilitating and all the rest of it from in Nevada. I was helping some of their neighbors, and it all turned out very well for them. And then my daughter says, Mom, you're really good at this. I think you should do this. I said, you have some more kilowatts for me to figure out? She goes, no, Mom. She goes, you need to do this. I said, how do you suppose I do that? And she says, I don't know. She says, you'll figure it out. So anyways, 7 years later, here I am. And you know, why I love doing what I do is I love helping people understand how to be more fiscally beneficial to their family, because God asks us to be a wise steward. And when I can cut people's costs for their electricity over a 25-year period in half, I feel really good about it. And they're never going to pay the power company's rate increases again. And I get to actually, when I go to people's homes, I mean, most of the time I don't tell my whole story on the radio, but thank you for having me do this. But I do share to a degree with people, and I take time to get to know them. And sometimes maybe I'm not there for solar panels for them. Maybe I'm there just to give them a little encouragement, like if I could get through all of this. And I love what I do. I love the people I do it for. I believe in this more than I even did when I was helping my daughter and my son-in-law. I'll tell you why, Mark. I did it for a while in Nevada, and then Warren Buffett bought NV Energy and the power, and he sent an energy lobbyist into the state legislature and stopped solar in Nevada. And that's when I said, wait a second. Mm. And so that's when I realized the power companies and all of this political stuff, it's all connected. And I really, on this show, I don't really want to get into that, but it is. We have to take care of our families. We have to be wise stewards of what God gives us. And if I can enable and show people how to be wise stewards over that section, because it's electricity. You're never going to stop buying electricity. We need it here in Arizona.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can't just open the window on a sunny July day here. Yeah. You've got to have air conditioning and electricity. So I find it very, I just love being able to educate people on how to. And then I have my own team. All my guys are Christians. I went through a couple of different companies to install. Now I have my own company, my own installers, so that everything is done under the Ask Solar Sandy umbrella, that my families don't have to worry about anything. And, God took me from, I was not doing well financially, physically, so he got me back on my feet, both physically and financially. And now I help people, cut their cost of electricity. And then right now I have a promotion. I was going to do it in September for 9/11 for, a period of time. But they get a year of their solar panel payments. And I'm just revenue sharing with the families that go solar with me.
Beautiful.
And the second promotion, part of that promotion is they get the second year $100 off their solar panel payment. So their first year is like having no electric bills and no solar panel payment. And the next year they just pay $100. I pay $100 of their solar panel payment. And people will say to me, why are you doing that? Because I feel this strongly about people having the incentive to do this now, because in the next 2 to 3 years, it's going to be very, very, very much worse than you're seeing right now. Because of our gas prices and inflation, we're going to see some of the largest rate increases in our electricity in the next three years and a bit.
Yeah, the time is now. I think one of the things that you just said so beautifully there at the end when we closed up this conversation that we get to have on radio is, when you think about right now listening in, you think about whatever profession you're in. If we are believers and followers of Jesus and we call ourselves Christians, we have a personal relationship with Jesus. We are called to love God and love people. And yet, when we think that through and how that plays out in our life, you are loving people well through the solar process.
Yeah.
And that's how you're loving those people, allowing them to cut the cost, eradicate cost in huge ways so that they can be better stewards to give back, to give more to their family,
Absolutely.
To provide and help others. So you're loving well in the way that you operate
That's
and lead
a beautiful
team to love people through the solar process.
I love that. I love the
way
that
you... So AskSolarSandy.
AskSolarSandy.com. Mm-hmm.
Please go and connect personally with Ask solarsandy.com. Sandy, it's a joy to have you
in today.
It's
so great. Thanks for having me, Mark. It was just an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much.
For me as well. We will talk to you soon. Have a great day. Take care.
God bless.